Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Hallelujah. Not what we, we just have so much that it's hard to take it all in. I don't expect to do a teaching that will in any way do justice to what we really possess in Christ this morning. So I'm going to look at people with obvious needs. I have needs in my life. But I have so much already in Christ. And you can either dwell on what you feel your lack is, or you can dwell on what you see as your fullness in the Lord. Down in some of the missionary countries where missionaries are sent, where mission works are established, people feel so rich when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they would not be living anywhere near where you are living in life. And yet they feel so rich. So if you don't feel as rich as they do this morning, amen, then you need to reassess what you have in Jesus. And start finding your peace, your happiness, and your fulfillment from a real, genuine, authentic relationship with Him. Praise God. By the way, when He covers you, He doesn't just protect you. He provides for you. He takes personal responsibility to provide for you. You don't just have a high power in heaven. You have a heavenly Father in heaven. And He loves His children, and He promises to make a way for you and make a way for me. So I'm going to talk again about the true riches of the believer, the blessing of being in Christ. There's many blessings, but the blessing itself is just being in Christ. Amen. So let me just read again from Ephesians, because we skipped a week because God just led us to preach off the cuff last Sunday. But I want to teach a little bit again and review a little bit so as we get a little bit deeper into this blessing of the believer, the true riches of the believer. Jesus actually talked about true riches over against mammon. Or the material things of this world that people set their heart upon. That doesn't mean He doesn't want you to enjoy anything He gives you. It would be terrible to give you something as terms of a material blessing and then forbid you to enjoy that. He wants you to enjoy that. He giveth us all things richly to enjoy. Can you say amen? Enjoying a blessing is not the same that setting your heart upon something in the material world. I can enjoy a nice automobile. Amen. And I do when my wife lets me drive it. Amen. Can you say amen? I really enjoy her car, which is our car that she gets to drive. You know how that works. You know how that works. I asked him the other day, how do you like your new Explorer? He said, I don't know. I don't drive it that much. That's Sherry's car. It's not even just Sherry's. It's Sherry and Kayla's car. Because Kayla has DVD. Amen. She don't want no, what they call those things, the circle around cribs. She don't want a mobile. She wants a DVD. And she just don't want the Wiggles either. She wants Pastor Venable preaching on the DVD. And of course, they spoiled her rotten because they went ahead and taped me preaching. And so she can sit in the back seat and see hallelujah on the television. Amen. Which I'm glad for. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. When they syndicate me and get me on Channel 3, you won't be laughing then. I don't think WEDU wants me and Big Bird on the same program. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to read this again. You heard it a week before last, but I want to read it again because it's important to understand that we are so blessed. We are so blessed this morning. Amen. We are so blessed to be able to get gas at $3 a gallon. And it's come down some places to $2.59, and we think that's grand. Amen. They've got us now. You know they've got us. I think it's great. $2.59. Oh, wow. Amen. When it was $1.97, it would have been, oh, Lord. But since they jumped it to $3 and now clocked it back to $2.59 for regular, it's, oh, wow. $2.59. They got us. Can you say, go on down and buy that SUV. It's okay. It's $2.59 now. Amen. Forget about those shoes, but get anyway, moving right along. God is good. Thank God for the money to pay the exorbitant prices and the inflation. Thank God that we can still have air conditioning turned on in this building and not just be burning 160-watt bulb so you can actually see the Word in front of you. Can you say amen? Thank the Lord that we're not in the path of a Cat 5 hurricane, which we could have been, but thank the Lord we are not today. Everywhere you look, you see a reason to be thankful. I'm in a crazy place. I mean, I say it's like working at Disney World. You know, it's a Mickey Mouse company. That's why it's going bankrupt. I'm sorry. I work there. They pay me. But it's a Mickey Mouse company. Amen. And bad management got us where we are. All the analysts say, it's a Mickey Mouse company that pays many wages and full of goofy people, just like working at Disney World. Amen. Some crazy people where I work, and it gets really weird. And sometimes it really gets to me. Amen. But I have the strength. I have the health. My cousin is laying up in the hospital in intensive care with a ruptured intestine, and all of that went out into him, and they don't know if he's going to live or die. He just turned 62, just retired, just building a mother-in-law quarters onto his house so he could take care of his mama. And right in the middle of his plans in retirement and his plans for building, something happened, an event happened that put him between life and death. And only God knows whether he will come home or whether he will go home if he knows the Lord. Can you say amen? And if he don't know the Lord, he will go somewhere for sure. But the thing is, he wasn't planning on what happened to him last week. Amen. To go from working on a room directly to ICU. 6 months after getting his Social Security and taking his retirement, he's laying up in ICU. And sometimes when I get the poor old me's for going out and working 6 days like I did this week, and the last day I'm just kind of dragging around and I'm saying, oh Lord, how David said, how long, oh Lord, when he was in certain trials. And boy, I say that to the Lord. And I don't believe I'm impatient. I think we've all been pretty patient. But I cry out sometimes, how long, oh Lord? And then I hear of something like this and I say, Lord, I want to thank you for blood running warm in my veins. I want to thank you for a mind that can, I know you don't think much of it, but it's getting me by. Can you say amen? A mind that can think. I want to thank you for a stomach that can abide food. I am not lactose intolerant. I can drink milkshakes. I don't need to be drinking them, but amen. My wife got me some pina colada. I heard a program the other day that said smells can change attitudes. And if you're in a down mood, get something that smells like coconut and pineapple, pina colada, and it'll remind you of a day at the beach in the sun with suntan lotion. And even in the dead of winter while depressed. And it was John Tesh on his radio broadcast. He's a Christian, by the way. Good praise music from John Tesh. Amen. And he was talking about aromatherapy. Wow, I love to smell Pamela's pumpkin bread baking in the oven. The realtor told us, amen, that if you want to sell your, when we sold our double-wide mobile home, our little double-wide mobile home, amen, she said, don't get potpourri. Put an apple pie in the oven. Bake it that morning. Put some coffee on. Let it sit there. Amen. Let the coffee and the apple pie fill the kitchen. When people walk in, they'll say, I'm at home. Amen. It's aroma. It's all what you're smelling getting to you. Amen. So I put on, you know, this morning I did my hair with pina colada shampoo and pina colada. I didn't do that because aromatherapy. It just happened to be sitting there, and I did my hair with it. I'm standing in the shower, and it's gray outside, and we're going to get some gale force winds probably late tonight. But I'm standing there, and I'm feeling good, and I'm feeling great, and I'm just smelling the coconut, and I'm smelling. And I thought, boy, Pamela's sweet to me. I mean, I got my own pina colada stuff. I mean, usually I have stuff that just is generic stuff. Amen. It barely has an odor. Man, she's got the good stuff, and I got the bad stuff. Because she knows I'm going to squeeze out a handful. And you just don't squeeze out handfuls of expensive stuff and glob it on. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I got something more this morning than the smell of pina colada. Amen. I can't just go smell that. There's some things that touch my life that I need help. And you know what makes me so grateful is to look around and see how blessed I really am. Can you say amen? I feel so blessed this morning to be healed of leukemia. When I see little children on TV, my heart goes out. And I say, oh God, you and your grace and you and your mercy. I didn't have to have my head shaved and go through bone marrow transplants and go through all the painful things. Amen. My parents didn't have to watch me become emaciated and watch me languish and even watch me die. Amen. Jesus did something for me that was so wonderful and so special. I have health in my body this morning. I could walk in here unassisted. Nobody had to help me in that door. I don't have to have a cane or a walker or a wheelchair. Can you say amen? I still have strength in my body. I have my aches and my pains, but they're nothing compared to the blessings that are upon my life. Can you say amen? I can deal with a few aches and a few pains. I'm not going to dwell on them and focus on them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God has been good to me, and God has been good to you. Can you say amen? Really, true riches begin when you begin to recognize your blessings. It's not when you get them, it's when you recognize them. Amen. And you begin to rejoice in what you have in Christ right now, right where you are in your present circumstance. Hallelujah. It's so powerful and so wonderful. Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 14, very quickly. Blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1, in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both those which are in heaven and those which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So much of your blessings and my blessings are to the praise of his glory. Amen. Can you say amen? I tell you, God wants us to live in victory to the praise of his glory. Amen. God wants us to enjoy our joy in God through Jesus Christ to the praise of his glory. If there's anything the church has done wrong to turn the world off, it's not live a life that was lived in such a way that it would bring praise and honor to his glorious name. To make people say, wow, look at what they have. Amen. Nothing in the world can touch what you have in Christ if you begin to really enjoy and exhibit what is yours in Jesus. If I go to work beat down and sad sack and wore out and just old sour face, amen, when they don't get bottles on the other side, there's a man over there that comes over to our side, and he's got one of these faces that makes you want to give him a bag of candy, amen, and which looks like it's Halloween 12 months out of the year. I mean, he just looks so ugly, and he looks so mad, and he looks so mean all of the time. Amen. He makes out my schedule, this guy. And he gives me Sundays off. Amen. And for him to do that is just a joy. God must be twisting his arm. I can see God behind his back saying, give it to him. Give it to him. And he's saying, okay, okay. But anyway, amen. He's just that kind of demeanor. And I've seen Christians with faces that said the same thing. That I'm unhappy. I'm disturbed. There's something wrong. Amen. And everybody around will know it because their countenance, amen, is a giveaway of what's happening inside. I'm not talking about people at special events that all put on a particular face for that event. I'm not talking about your game face. I'm talking about your real face. I'm talking about the one that other people see when you're not aware that they're seeing it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You lose sight of it's Sunday and I'm in church somewhere after we all sit down and the song service is over and we're just kind of letting our real self show. And when we go out into the public arena, amen, people are going to see the real you. And guess what happens? Your face even communicates something that's happening down on the inside of you. The scripture said the eyes of him or her who is joyful rejoices the heart of others. Isn't that incredible? Joyful people have an effect on other people. And they're lifted up by being in their presence. How many know that people that are just melancholy and depressed and down all the time? See, you're dwelling this morning. You and me are dwelling under a curse or a blessing. And it all depends on who your trust is really in. And I want to give you kind of a something to think about because, amen, in the scripture, the Bible said, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. He will be like the heath in the desert that inhabits the parched places of the earth and shall not see. See, that's what we're missing. Shall not see. Shall not see. Is blinded when the good cometh. Amen. There's no fruit on a heath. I tried to find out. There's not much about a heath because it's such an insignificant plant, but it grows in dry places. Amen. And it is fruitless. The only thing I can kind of use as an analogy to describe a heath in the desert is a tumbleweed. Anybody see the old ghost towns? Amen. Hear the old song by the son of the pioneers? You wouldn't know anything about that. But I'm the son of a pioneer, so I know the songs pretty good. Amen. I'm getting to that stage. It's drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed. And there's so many Christians just like that. We're just drifting along, fruitless lives. Amen. Inhabiting the parched places of the earth. You sung about my fountain is in you. Let me tell you about that fountain. Amen. A fountain was opened up to the house of Jacob when Jesus was on the cross. Can you say amen? And a fountain was offered a woman drawing water from a well. Jesus says, you don't have to draw from that physical well alone. You can drink from a spiritual fountain. And that well, you'll always come back to it. You'll always thirst again. But if you drink of the water that comes from this fountain, it will satisfy, amen, your soul to the degree that you will not thirst anymore. Amen. Most Christians look like there's something lacking in their life. Amen. Something, somewhere is not fulfilled because somewhere there's a fleshly value system that is still intact and we are still mirroring our life by the world about us. And we feel that we are not blessed because we don't have this, we don't have that, we don't look like this, we don't have the other. And we always feel, we always live in a place of discontent. And we don't see when the good comes. If we hear anything good because we're looking to flesh, leaning on flesh, we always distrust. So if we hear a good report, there's an immediate distrust. It's easy to become jaded and cynical because I know how weak flesh is and how people can fail, how I can and how you can. But I know something about God. God is faithful. God in you is faithful. And God in me is faithful. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Not just God up there, but God in here. Bible said the good work he started in you. Woo! He's faithful to perform it. So if you'll let him loose in your life, God will go to work in your life. And it doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80, God will go to work in your life. Hallelujah. They found out that a 70-year-old man can go back to the gym as long as he don't try to lift over 300 pounds and blow his joints. He can go back to the gym. With moderation, it's still good for you. You can still get healthier at 70. Amen. Isn't that incredible? You can get healthier at 70. You're not. It's not too late. Some people have lived in that Heath experience so long, it's almost like they feel like it's too late for me. Amen. The reason is our trust is not really totally in the Lord. Amen. How rich you are, how wealthy you are to have a God who says, call upon me in the time of trouble. Can you say amen? It can't be bought. Bill Gates don't have that. If the earth shakes, his money cannot shelter him. Can you say amen? When hailstones fall from heaven weighing 90 pounds, where can Bill Gates go? What shelter can he hide in? Amen. When every island in the sea is overcome with tidal waves during the tribulation, where are the rich and the mighty of this world going to hide themselves? Can you say amen? Listen, you've got a hiding place in Jesus Christ today. Under the cover of his wings. I'm addressing the regal. I'm addressing the wealthy. I'm addressing the people that have eternal life. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm addressing the true rich people. Incomparable, inconceivable wealth is yours in Christ. The material message of today, and boy, I got a material message too. God wants to meet your material needs. God is deeply concerned about you and what you wear, what you eat. Your Father knows. That means He cares about those issues. They are just not first on His agenda. We have made them first because that's where our value system is. Amen. But God's value system always begins in the spiritual. But thank God when it's complete in the spiritual, it always blesses out in the physical. It bleeds down. It's a trickle-down. Everybody say a trickle-down effect. It has a trickle-down effect. Amen. When you're under His covering, amen, He protects you. He provides for you. You don't even have to think about that. Amen. Take ye no thought for your life. Because God's going to see to that. Don't worry about it. For who by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, your worry isn't going to change anything. If you're worrying about the fact that you're short, it won't make you grow tall. Can you say amen? Doesn't God have a great sense of humor? Amen. Paul, they say, was a kind of short man in stature. I don't know where they got that, but they perceive him that way, and that's okay. Amen. When I was on radio on Foundations for Faith for several years, two ladies wrote in to the station manager and said, would you please describe Reverend Venable to us? First, let us tell you what we believe he looks like. At that time, I was about 29 years old or somewhere in there, 29 or 30, and, you know, I was short then. Amen. And I was just about 30, and I, you know, at that time I got up to about 220 something pounds. So I was short and I was wide. You've heard deep and wide. I was short and wide. Amen. And I was John Hagee Jr. back then, only younger. Amen. Hallelujah. But she called in and says, "Listen, let me tell you first what I think he looks like." Said he's probably in his late 40s or early 50s. He's probably about 6'1". He's probably salt and pepper gray. In fact, I was 30, short and wide, and jet black hair. But that was her perception. That's how she perceived me. And your perception is strong. You can have it altogether wrong, but you may be perceiving yourself a certain way. You understand what I'm saying? Israel got it all wrong. God brought them out of Egypt. They were under His covering. God was with them. But when they saw giants, and they saw fierce armies between them and what God promised, they got a perception of themselves that was so terribly inaccurate. They didn't see themselves as God's chosen people with their very God going before them. They said, we saw the giants in the land. And we saw the fierce armies in the land. And we were, everybody say, my own perception. Not what is really true, but your perception. How you perceive it. And we saw ourselves as grasshoppers before them. And listen to this. It's not true. The scripture's not true. It said, and so were we in their sight. Are you listening to me? In other words, your enemy sees you as you see yourself, even though he knows, amen, the truth about you. Satan knows the power that's been invested in you, the privilege that you have as a child of God. But if you keep this self-perception, and you may have brought it into the kingdom of God when you first got saved and never shook it off. That's why you got to get your mind renewed. Because if you don't get it renewed, you'll keep that thinking. That kind of perception will plague you in your entire Christian experience. If you've always felt, I see sometimes people in my church ministry of over 30 years, I have seen people so blessed. I've seen people that were physically attractive, that were intelligent. Amen. I'm so dependent on the Holy Ghost. He's working with something here that is a glory to God every time He uses it. I don't want to know what my IQ is. It would highly limit what I do for Jesus. Because I'd start thinking about that, and I don't want to even think about that. Hallelujah. I want God to move. I don't want to take an SAT. I don't want to know what I would score. You understand me? I just don't want to know. Some things I just don't want to know. I just want to be, I can do all things through Christ. That's the thing that I want to know. I am what He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. So I see people so blessed, but they don't perceive themselves as blessed. And because they don't perceive themselves as blessed, they don't see it as other people see them. And they're always struggling. Their whole lifetime is a struggle. They see everything as overwhelming to them. And they are nothing against all of these things. And the enemy says, boy, have I got them blinded. And I did it not by any outward thing. I'm blind. They're blinded because of their own self-perception. If they saw themselves, listen, one man didn't see himself that way. Amen. His name was Caleb. And another man didn't see himself that way either. His name was Joshua. When they asked them what they saw, they said, we saw everything they saw, but we saw ourselves differently. We saw ourselves as having God with us. We saw ourselves as more than conquerors through Him that led us out of Egypt. Can you say amen? So let's go up at once. See, when your self-perception changes, your faith can work in God. Let's go up at once and possess the land. For we, with His help, are what? Well, able. We're more than a match for fierce armies. More than a match for giants. Because our trust is not in sinful, weak flesh. Our trust is in the faithfulness of a grazing, glorious God. Hallelujah. Who goes before us. Paul is wanting the church at Ephesus to see what they have in Christ. Because if they don't get that, they're never going to really live an overcoming and a victorious Christian experience. Never going to happen. Some people mirror themselves constantly how other people see them. If you knew how little people thought of you, you wouldn't care about what they thought of you. If you think everyone's assessing you every Sunday, I hate to burst your bubble, you're just not that important to us. We don't go away from here thinking about your hair. So if you came in and it didn't turn out right and you think everybody in the whole church is saying, why did you see her hair? Honey, we're thinking about Jesus. I'm sorry. We're not thinking about your hair. Sometimes my wife asks me about somebody and I say, you know, I really don't know. I know they were there. I couldn't tell you what they were wearing. If you got lost this afternoon somewhere and we went out in the wilderness looking for you and they say, Pastor, was she at church Sunday morning? I'd say, sure was. Say, what was she wearing? And right now I could tell because I'm thinking about it. But in normal circumstances, I couldn't tell them. I have missed my wife in a mall. You know, she went one way, I went the other. Now I can't find her, and I'm thinking, what if she went out that door looking for the car? What if? You know, because it's been an hour now, and I can't find my wife. I wanted to go like the little boy and say, Mama. And have them put it over the intercom. And after a while, we meet. But I thought, if my wife was missing, and they said, because my mind is on so many things, and I'm so busy. And they said, well, what was she wearing? I would feel so foolish and down at the police station. Because I'd say, I don't know. Well, what kind of shoes does she have on? I don't know. I know what kind of hair she's got. I know the color of her eyes and how tall she is, and I can guess her weight pretty close, but I don't know. What kind of purse was she carrying? I don't know. She's wearing some kind of pants. Were they jeans? I don't know. What kind of top? Some kind of top. What color? I don't know. They think I was foolish because sometimes my mind's out somewhere else. Can you say amen? So if you think everybody is just looking at you to say, well, let's see how she's doing today. No, they're not. They're not. They're not. Come on, they're not. They're not. Get over yourself. Get past yourself. Quit comparing, competing. You're a child of the Most High God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Well, I never got a hold of that. I never felt like anything. I felt like the armpit in the body of Christ for so many years. And people make you feel that way. Some people point out every bad thing about you. I grew a beard. My family said, oh, what have you done to your face? Amen. I kept it for 17 years and cut it off. And they said, oh, what have you done to your face? I mean, anything you change, somebody's going to nail you for. Can you say amen? If you curl your hair, oh, what have you done to your hair? If you put straightener on it, oh, what have you done to your hair? You can't win. So just go ahead and rejoice in who you are in Him. Hallelujah. In Him. We took a missionary from Plant City. No one in the church would volunteer to help her get goods to Jamaica. It was the beginning of our mission experience and just serving the Lord. We borrowed my stepdad's truck. We borrowed money for gas for it. I mean, we just sacrificed. We wanted to do something. We said, we can do something for God. We had a borrowed truck. We had a little bit of money to get gas. Amen. And we're supposed to go directly to the airport, drive all the way back. We didn't have money for food. We didn't have money to stay anywhere. And we ended up staying over. We ended up going and showing how God meets needs. Following that missionary around, we saw God meeting needs and meeting needs through people. We were paid for to stay over at a motel. We were paid for to eat at a spirit-filled veterinarian's house. And he took me in the back room and got me freed up in tongues because I never felt sanctified enough to speak in tongues, even though I had the gift of the Holy Ghost. I was afraid to open my mouth because I said, I'll probably never be pure enough for that mighty gift to operate in somebody like me. And it wasn't that I was sinning, I was seeking. I was doing everything I could to live holy, but I just didn't think he could just, and I wouldn't let him out. I had him in and I wouldn't let him out, so I wouldn't accept that he was even in. Amen. And I was seeking the Holy Ghost. Every time they had a meeting, I was down seeking the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't it be great to see men down at the altar seeking the Holy Ghost? Not just getting saved 15 years ago, but seeking God and more of God. Amen. Seeking the Holy Ghost is seeking more of God. Hey, say it with me. Seeking the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the baptism. I'm not talking about the Spirit of God that comes in when you get saved. I'm talking about the immersion, the filled with and controlled by experience of the Holy Ghost. When you're hungry for God, you just want more of Him. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you do get more of Him in terms of experience. Not that you don't have all that there is when you get saved of Him. He's able to manifest Himself to you when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I don't know if you know about the manifest presence of God, but you can listen to a good preacher preach great things about God all day long. But honey, there comes a point when you need the manifest presence. Hallelujah. You need that God that everybody talks about to manifest Himself. And I don't mean just in a feeling. I mean in an answer to prayer. Can you say amen? And moving in your heart and moving in your life. But my self-perception was, I am not good enough. I am not holy enough. I am not pure enough. So I dare not open my mouth in faith. So I just clammed up. So since there was no tongues, I must not have the Holy Spirit. So if I don't have the Holy Spirit, I can't speak in tongues. And I can't speak in tongues because I don't. And there I sat. And he took me in the back room and says, you are seeking the Holy Ghost, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. The baptism. He says, young man, you've got the Holy Ghost. And he prayed for me and tongues came forth. And from that day to this, I've been able to speak in tongues. And it's not sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. There's power. Manifest power. The way you see yourself is the way your enemy sees you. The way you perceive yourself right now probably isn't the way other people see you. But you've got this image. Plastic surgeons do this. Let me get this done this morning. Plastic surgeons will take a nose that is extremely long. They will break it, take out a portion of it. They will close it up, stitch it up, and leave a hairline scar somewhere up in here. But a nose will now have that nice little turned up nose. And that lady takes the bandages off and looks at that woman with a nice little nose, and she still doesn't see. They all say the same thing. It takes a long... Other people say, wow, look at you. But because they still hold that perception, even though the mirror is telling them that's not true, they see that. It's still not right. And it takes them weeks and sometimes months before they accept that new look. You know what the problem in Christianity is? We don't mirror ourselves in God's Word. And if we ever get a glimpse of ourselves in God's Word, we don't keep looking at ourselves mirrored by God's Word. We see the mirror of our own self-perception. And I'm not talking mind power, any of this junk stuff. I'm telling you, your enemy sees you as you see yourself. We, God's chosen people that He brought out of Egypt, were as grasshoppers before them. So were we in their sight. Can you say amen? No wonder the enemy kicks us around. No wonder he takes advantage of us, because we don't see ourselves as the children of the Most High God accepted in the Beloved. We see ourselves short somewhere. Listen, you're on a road to perfection, and as far as that road to perfection, you're going to be on it till Christ comes. You're going to be progressively moving, and God is going to be moving you forward. But this stuff I'm talking about is instant stuff that you get when you get saved. This is not the progressive stuff that you get along the way. Listen, sonship is not something you grow into. Sonship, somebody say, oh. Amen just won't cut it sometimes. I want you to get excited about this. Sonship. Listen, sonship is not something you grow into. You grow in the knowledge of who you are. Amen. But you don't grow into sonship. Sonship is yours the moment Christ comes into your heart and you are put in Christ. Now, not you will be, you shall be, you might be, you may be, but now. Now, to every Christian in that building, if you got saved last night, now you are. If you got saved 10 years ago, now you are. If you got saved 30 years ago, now you are. If you're a missionary, now you are. If you're a housewife, now you are. Can you say amen? Now that you've received Jesus, now you are the sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God. And if heirs of God, then joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now you're so identified with Him that there's no place in the mirror of God's Word that you will find you and Him separate. You have been buried with Him, the Scriptures teach. Everybody say with Him. And you have been raised with Him. And you have been seated with Him in heavenly places. The word seated in the Greek is given joint seating. Incredible words. 17th verse, Paul begins to pray for the church at Ephesus. And he says, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the maker of all things, that He would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that you might know what is the riches of His inheritance in the saints, and His power to usward who believe, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him, amen, high upon a throne above all power and dominion, and seated us with Him. Isn't that incredible? Which means joint seating. Everybody say joint seating. It doesn't mean you're divine. It doesn't mean you're the Lord or you're a God in a big G, little G sense. It just means that in terms of acceptance, in terms of benefit, in terms of the Father's love and covering, in terms of all those things that were unique to Jesus alone, now those things have become yours in Christ. Acceptance means He accepts you in the Beloved. So He has to accept you as the Beloved and with the Beloved. So if you perceive yourself as something less, it's an unbiblical perception. And your enemy sees you lacking. And you're easy prey for depression. Easy pickings for discouragement. Amen? I don't care how good an army can fight. If it's discouraged, it's going to lose the battle. I don't care how much weaponry it has. When we pulled out of Vietnam, we left the best weapons that there were for any army. The best equipped army in the world was the South Vietnamese army. But there's one thing that they lacked, and that was the will to fight and the belief that they could win. They were discouraged when we pulled out. And it don't matter what. We left weaponry in their hands. They could have fought and defended Saigon, but they gave it up and they were easily routed because they were dispirited. And when you get dispirited, it doesn't matter about the heavenly weaponry that God has equipped you with. When you are discouraged, I know when you're discouraged, you get lackadocious, you get lethargic, you get down, you get easily depressed, you get sensitive. Can you say amen? How many's been around anybody before that was too sensitive, oversensitive? You say any little thing and it's going to be taken the wrong way. What'd you say? I mean, dear Lord, you can't say nothing. You can't say anything. Everything's going to be taken the wrong way. How are you doing? Well, how do I look today? What makes you think I feel bad? I didn't say that. I just asked how you were. I'm on top of it. And you can see an overreaction to the positive side. And that really gives away your weakness. How are you today? Oh, man, I got it all together. That's my Sunday morning game face. I've seen that for 30 years. I'm way too wise to buy a Sunday morning game face. Hello? I ask you how you are. Everything's fine. Yeah, right. That's why you're rejoicing in praise like you are. That's why we can't hold the amens back in your life. That's why you're such an exciting, vibrant witness for Jesus, because everything is just so fine. No, the enemy wins. And not only do we lose, but the testimony takes a hit. And honey, there's times I feel like getting over in the poor old me's, and I just would pet my flesh and let it have its pity party. But I do not want the name of my great God to be associated with something as pitiful and pathetic as I feel in those times. And I could give up some personal victory to pet my flesh, but I don't want to give up one victory that the name of my God is associated with. When people see me at work, I want them to see a Christian who has a God to call upon, who isn't shaken by what shakes everyone else. Hallelujah! And not only not shaken by what shakes everybody else, but not shapen by what shapes everybody else either. I'm not part of the cookie cutter bunch that all say the same things and do the same things. I march to the beat of a different drummer, and it's good following Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! I don't need their acceptance. You know why? I'm accepted already. In a higher one than anybody on this earth. I'm accepted by God in the Beloved. So I don't need their praise and their pat on the back. They need what I've got. I don't need their affirmation. I have His. I don't preach anymore for your hand clap. I preach for His good pleasure. When I feel His good pleasure, even if you're all frowning, I have a good time preaching. They grunt when I get home about your frowns, but while I'm preaching, I don't. Hallelujah. God is good. I know when I'm preaching truth, and I know when it's His truth, and I know when it's a powerful truth, and I know that we're called a tough church. Someone said to me this week, said, Pastor, you know, I think some people are going to be in town from Voice of the Martyrs magazine, you know, and people who speak for them, and we may, you know, try to contact some of these folks if they don't have anything to do on a Sunday night to come out and share with us if they don't have nothing else to do. I always tell people, if you've got a big church and you can get a big offering, you go to that church because that's where your better need is going to be met. But if you've got some time in between and you don't have a schedule and you want to come talk to some people with a heart for God, come talk to us. We're little. We're just beginning again. But you're very welcome to come here. Amen. But said that it was told me they won't be afraid to come to this church because they're so dedicated. And I thought, you mean there's people afraid to come here because they're not dedicated? that creates a fear of being challenged about dedication. This ministry is always, and I don't understand it. I serve the sweetest master in all the world. I lift up a Jesus that's worth everything you have and everything that you are. The Jesus I serve is not worth our leftovers. That's not the Jesus I preach. I don't know that Jesus. I don't know that Jesus you just use to get your needs met, but you don't bow to. I know a Jesus that's worth our worship, our love, our all, our everything. That's the only Jesus I know. I know a mighty King, a gracious King, a good King, a King that's worth bowing to, a King that's worth following, living for, and dying for if it comes to it. I know a King, amen, as sweet to me as it was a teenage girl out in Columbine, amen, when a young man pointed a gun at her and asked her, does she believe in God? And she answered a resounding yes, I do. And the last thing she did was affirm her faith at the peril of her own life. But she counted not her life dear that she might obtain a better resurrection. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What kind of church do we want? What kind of Christians are sitting out there? If they're afraid of deny yourself, they got a problem in their devotion. They're not true followers of Jesus. They're just church-going people wanting God's protection when they need Him. But the covering comes when we bow. We're teaching faith, believing without first bowing. And prayer doesn't start with faith. It starts with bowing. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom, Thy government, Thy lordship, Thy kingdom rule in my life. Come. Can't ask it to come to this planet if it can't even get in your own heart. That's the kind of preaching that scares people. That there's more to this than just going to church and getting every promise answered. That there's a Jesus who called you to follow Him. But in the following of Him, there's the meeting of your needs. Automatically. I don't have to put my faith out for many things. God sees to that. I put my faith out for Christ, amen, to be seen in me, to serve Him, to overcome the enemy of my soul, to defeat the flesh, to be a witness for Jesus. Can you say amen? There's a joy in it. You see the difference in just getting stuff from God and following God and letting God father you? Believe me, when God fathers you, He knows what you have need of, Christ said. If you seek His kingdom rule, His kingdom is not His way of doing things. The faith formula is to get stuff from Him. His kingdom is His government. Come on, kingdom means the rule of a king. It means when you bow to Him and to Him alone. Amen. Take that out of context. I've never seen so many popular preachers with so many people following them that are biblically illiterate. They just don't know what the Scriptures teach. But they're preaching it authoritatively. And they're echoing and parroting. I can take you back and name the names of the roots of their biblical perspective. The tapes they've listened to have shaped what they're preaching. Not the Bible. And not the man, Jesus Christ. The man, Jesus, was entirely different than the strident, self-confident, amen, condescending preacher that prances on a platform and looks down on everybody. Amen. Tells you what you can have when what he's got was given to him by people just like you and me sending it in. Let him go live by faith in South Africa in a mission station without a television audience and see who's going to send it in. It'll have to be God Almighty or you starve. Hello? How many know popular messages have always been well supported? How many know the last days would be marked with well supported popular preachers? Amen? Time will come they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. That can be biblically authenticated. Truly biblically. There's so many people know what brother or sister so-and-so says. It's amazing what television does. It gives you a credibility that isn't really authentic sometimes. I was on television, I think, 3 times in these local broadcasts. I was on Channel 22 talking about Dungeons and Dragons because a guy had lost his son who committed suicide, who was deep into Dungeons and Dragons. We were talking about the occult. So I was on Channel 22, And somebody in Merritt Island, where I went to preach, that saw me on Channel 22. They didn't remember anything I said, didn't know what the broadcast was about, didn't know anything about what I brought from Scripture about Alexander the coppersmith doing as much evil, and he was making these gods to be worshipped, this paraphernalia to worship Diana with, and they were really mad, amen, when their clientele buying these trinkets to worship Diana with got saved, because when you get really saved, you don't blend the two kingdoms. Can you say amen? When you get really, I see all these church-going people reading their horoscope. And don't you squirm. If you squirm right now, you'll be a dead giveaway. Can you say amen? You know where the horoscopes are in the paper? I know, because I watch people read them every day, church-going people. You know where they are? They're by the funnies most of the time. Amen. You know what they say when all these psychics are on television? There's a disclaimer so you don't sue their socks off. You know what it says? It says for recreational use only. In other words, we're just funning. But it's not just fun and games. Amen. There's a real demonic world out there. One thing is for sure, you can't have God's blessings trying to blend it with Lady Luck. You got to have Father God or Lady Luck. You got to have the spin of the toss of the dice, the spin of the wheel, or the steps of a good man or order of the Lord. And the steps of the good man or order of the Lord. It doesn't matter what planet or what symbol. It don't matter if you're a Scorpio. Somebody said, Rev, what are you? What do you mean, one? Well, are you a Scorpio or a Sagittarius? What are you? When's your birthday? I didn't want to tell him my birthday. You know, my birthday don't matter. My born-again day matters. Glory to God. That's what defines me. That it's not where the planets are in relation to one another or the earth. It's where I am in relation to God Almighty, my Creator. And I am accepted in the Beloved. Can you say amen? I say the sign of the cross. I don't want to hear about no cross. Church-going people. This is not pagan world out there. They're looking to see what kind of day they're going to have based on what somebody says, the star that they were born under. Today, you're going to meet Mr. Wright. He is going to be wealthy beyond your wildest imagination. And not only is he going to be wealthy, he's going to be crazy. Crazy about you. Because he's going to think you are the most beautiful thing he's ever saw. Just because Pluto has now moved this way a little bit in the cosmos. Dear Lord in heaven, stand now. Somebody asked me about that, and I said, read Isaiah 47. Stand now with thy astrologers and thy monthly prognosticators. Stand with those predictors and these psychics. Stand with them, Israel, and see if they'll deliver you in the day of trouble. Because you can't have me and have them too. Can you say amen? One thing God is, he's exclusive. He's God Almighty, or he's not God at all. But he won't share the throne with an astrologer. He will not, Holy Spirit will not lead you while you're listening to a psychic. Can you say amen? You can't go down to Madam So-and-so's and go into the presence of God and expect God to lead you. You got to burn that stuff. When Peter preached, in the New Testament, the book of Acts, when the apostles preached, those that worshiped and followed the soothsayers, they came and brought everything they had and built a bonfire and burned it. 50,000 pieces of silver it was worth, and it went up in smoke. Woo! That's back when repentance meant turning around, hallelujah, and walking in a new direction. Glory to God. I love to see Reinhard Bonnke preaching in Africa, because they brought the monkey paws and they brought the potions and everything they got from the witch doctors, and they put it on a big old bonfire. And I love watching them praise God while that stuff burned up. Trying to blend New Age with Christian gospel. It's an unholy fire. It's strange fire in the temple. And Eli, amen, has no restraint for his sons as long as they're happy. We got Eli churches now that have no restraint, and it's do your thing and do what you want to do. But that day will not deliver. Though that ministry will not. Those promises of peace are not authentic. There's no peace without getting it settled with God. But when it's settled with God, peace comes and power comes and purpose comes and presence comes. Now let's get back to our perception. If you are accepted in the Beloved, are you going to refute that by your own perception of yourself, or are you going to start believing God's Word? Are you a believer in this book? Everybody got one, hold it up for a minute. Everybody believes it's true, hold your hand up just to believe it's true. At some point, you're going to have to quit arguing. And you're going to start mirroring what this says about you. Can you say amen? Brother Vimble, I've never felt like anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It just doesn't matter. You've got to let that quit mattering. That's what's killing you. You're letting that matter more than what God says. The Bible said the only way to not be conformed to this world after you're a Christian is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means in the general way that your mind thinks from that moment forward, in the spirit of it. Can you say, man, you can't keep blending the old carnal mind. To be carnally minded is what? Always, without exception. To be carnally minded is what? Is what? Is what? Is what? It's death. But to be spiritually minded, what? Or renewed in the spirit of your mind, what does it bring? It's life and, listen, it's peace. Because finally you can quit competing and comparing. Finally you can be happy in your own skin. And when I was 225, I didn't want to go to no gym. I wanted to unzip this thing, throw it off, and get one of those. In fact, I wish I lived back in the Roman times. Because I could wear a breastplate to church. It has abs. And you don't have to do sit-ups. You ever seen one of those Roman breastplates? Got pecs and abs. Six-pack right here. No telling what's under it. Don't matter. That's what everybody's seeing is what's out here. I mean, you know, put a T-shirt on over that breastplate. Do your wash on this. Can you say amen? Let me tell you something. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. It don't matter how weak or wormy that old person is under it. You put on that breastplate of righteousness. It's God's armor, peace, glory to God. Satan has to deal with you by looking at that breastplate, not looking at you no more. Come on. Shut up, because God knows how weak that soldier is behind that piece of armor. Amen. But Satan, only thing Satan can see is that breastplate. And if you don't give it up, and if you don't begin to confess something less than what He's made you in Jesus Christ, Satan's going to have to deal with you according to that armor. Let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Don't you ever, ever confess that God's holy armor doesn't strengthen you. It does. See yourself strong enough to overcome, and your enemy will have to deal with you on that basis, because your enemy is going to look at that breastplate. So why don't you quit looking at you and start looking at who you are in Him? It's all about being in Him. Now the teaching part, now the preaching's over and we quit. Lehman Strauss said the most significant phrase in the epistle is made up of two words, and they are none other than in Christ. It's clear that when we are spiritually placed in Christ, every other blessing is a result of this glorious blessing, this new standing with God. Now, we're going to just quit because I can't go that much, I can't go any deeper. We'd be here all day and all night. Listen carefully, though. If the Word of God doesn't start marking your life, then your mind isn't getting spiritually renewed. And whatever is troubling this old world, its value system, the things that irritate it, agitate it, make people dissatisfied, just like the woman at the well, that's going to operate inside of you. Be not conformed to the world. What does it say? First scripture Christians should learn after coming to Jesus, amen, is to offer yourself. Because this is where you take up your cross with joy. This is where you deny yourself with joy. This is where you follow Christ with joy. It's in that full, wholehearted, devoted commitment. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12:1, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word reasonable service in the Greek phraseology is your spiritual worship. Do you understand what you sing, what you say? I've seen people that didn't follow Jesus in their personal life get up on a church platform on Sunday morning and sing with a gusto that would put much of us to shame. They can pour the emotion into a song. I used to hear emotion punched in a song, and I thought emotion was the same as the anointing. And I got news for you. There's a vast difference between emotion and the anointing. The anointing doesn't just give you a high while you're doing something. It gives you the strength to follow through and follow Christ. Can you say amen? This power will enable you to follow the Lord. So just how emotional someone gets while they sing, I want them to get done singing and start living that life in that same fever pitch anointing for God. Because if they don't match up, then something is put on. Can you say amen? If I preach like this and I don't live at work and try to live my life excitedly before the Lord, then I'm a hypocrite standing before you this morning. I'm turning this on for your sake. And I don't want to just turn something on. Hallelujah. They ask me a question at work. I get all excited. And I end up preaching. I said, don't ask a preacher a question if you don't want a sermon. They smile and shake their head. But they know something when they're done. They know they have just encountered someone who is authentic, that this is real in my life. And I can't even just talk about the Word. I get excited about it. Amen. They ask me something while I'm giving them the answer. I just get like a little boy. Amen. It just makes me so thrilled to be in that context talking about holy things and to tell them how exciting it is to serve the Lord. Somebody say, Brother Vim, have you seen the paper? Rev, have you seen the paper? I said, yeah. They said, didn't. And they'll ask me these questions all the time, something in the paper. My, look what just happened. They'll look at me. I say, yeah, that Jesus is coming soon. Oh, it's so good to know the Lord in days like this, just to really be a Christian and to really be a Christian, to know that your life is hid in Him. I couldn't face life if I didn't have Jesus as my personal Savior. And you know, it's echoing around. And you get excited about that. Wow. If you don't get excited about it, then you're telling people something so glorious, so powerful. But if it isn't exciting you, it doesn't come over with believability. Something is missing. And it's your own personal faith. Paul says, I don't want you to see yourself as trying to achieve, attain. I don't want you to see yourself as trying to get there spiritually. I want you to see yourself as whole. In fact, he went on to teach, you are complete in Jesus Christ. That's why when those folks knock on my door, I don't even enter into the conversation. If God don't prompt me to witness to somebody, I have nothing to say because I'm complete in Christ. I'm not running with some deficit. And you're complete in Him. Everybody say in Him. It's all about being in Him. Amen. You were baptized into Him when you were saved. The Holy Spirit puts you in Christ in your spiritual positioning. As far as God seeing you, He sees you in His Son and accepts you in the Beloved. That's how God sees you. The problem is not how God sees you. It's how you see yourself. And therefore, how the enemy sees you. See yourself as a grasshopper before the enemy. And your enemy will see you as a grasshopper. And he will easily defeat you because you're going into battle with armor that he cannot resist. But you're going in with a discouraged spirit. And before the fight starts, you lose. And you lose again and again and again. Until you let God's Word begin to renew your mind. And that's what Paul was doing. They were saved as they'd ever get. He says, now I want you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind to what you have in Christ now that you're saved. And I don't want you to see yourself outside of Him or apart from Him ever again. He said, I want you to be filled with the spirit of wisdom and knowledge of Him that you might know what is yours in Jesus Christ. And what is His in you. Did you say amen? We share this blessing. He enjoys us too. Can you say amen? It says to the nation of Israel, thou shalt be dandled upon his knee. Amen. Isn't that incredible love? said, I'm going to care for you like someone who a baby had been born. We read of it all the time, babies being found in dumpsters and commodes and all these places, infants being thrown away by their mothers. And says, can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yea, she may, but I'll never forsake you, O house of Israel. I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn thee. The very God that sent corrective judgment says, I'm deeply, devotedly, committedly, helplessly, head over heels in love with you. And you may leave me, but I won't leave you. You can divorce me, but I'll stay true. And if you ever come back, I'll take you. Amen. And to demonstrate that strength of his love to Israel and to shame them for their lack of response to it, he had one of his prophets marry the town prostitute, knowing, amen, that she would do him wrong. And when she did him wrong and they treated her bad and they beat her, she came back home. And you know what? He had every reason to kick her back out. But you know what he did? He embraced her, loved her, and took her in. And God said, this is how I love Israel. And that's the appearance of grace in the Old Testament. If you don't ever change your perception, you know what I'm going to deal with every Sunday? People that came in here with a breastplate on, got the pecs, got the abs, but seeing yourself as weak. Inability to cope, hoping for some morsel to give you a little bit of faith to just get you up on Sunday. But if you don't change that self-perception, Monday, you're going to be right back in the same pickle. Your enemy will just draw back while you're shouting and dancing and having fun. And he'll wait on Monday afternoon. Can you say amen? And Monday afternoon, he'll show up and he'll have a mirror for you. And say, here's the real you. I know the real you. This is the real you. And you say, no, you're wrong. This is the real me. You're going to have to deal with me according to who I am in Christ. Not who I am even in me, but who I am in him. Paul said, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Can you say amen? Will you stand to your feet? How many people are going to try a little bit harder to take this to heart? Hide it deep in your heart. Bible said don't even let it depart from your eyes. Amen? Don't ever lose focus on what God says to you and about you in His Word. Don't ever lose focus. That's where you get the true picture. And that's where your life changes. As a man thinketh in his heart, what happens? What happens? Now, the heart here doesn't mean the spirit. Heart is used in different ways, in different sentences. Here it's talking about the mind. Because that's where your thinking goes on. How many know that's where you think? It's a soulish part of you. Not your spirit, your mind. It's the seat of the will, the emotions, the decision-making processes. The bent, the will is in the spirit. To will to do right is wrong. But see, that mind and spirit were in conflict. Amen. To will to do good is here, but evil keeps presenting itself. But when Paul got renewed in the spirit of his mind, you know what he said? He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And here's that renewed mind talking. And there's no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ. Listen, them that are in. Come on, them that are in. It's all about being in. Can you say amen? Those that are in Jesus Christ who walk because they're in Christ. They walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. You are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You can give in to the flesh, but it's not because you're in it anymore. You have a spiritual blessing and benefit of walking in the Spirit if you get renewed in your mind and so choose to. Oh, I want to get this. Everybody say water baptism. Did you know what you're symbolizing in water baptism? That you are dead and buried with Jesus. That whatever desires come forth in you now that are inordinate, you don't have to give in to them anymore. You've got to see yourself as dead. The old you is dead. And that old you is going to tell you, I'm alive and well. And you're going to have to tell the old you, no, you're nailed to the cross. I want to go over there and give them a piece of my mind. But no, that's the old me. And the old me is dead with Jesus. You just can't go do what you want to do anymore. I am buried with Him. But I'm not just in the grave with Him, the old me. I am raised with Him. There's a new me that come out of that grave. You've got to begin to get that in your mind so it starts changing your life. Paul preaches it over and over again. It's not I that live. It's Christ that lives in me now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be no more conformed to this world, literally pressed, because the world is highly aggressive and uses everything. Satan uses everything in the world system to press you into the world's mold. But the Bible said, offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. Amen. And be no more conformed or pressed into the mold of this world, but be you, ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Well, what is it, Brother Venable? This is not the good will and the perfect will and the acceptable will. People just preach stuff that's not in the book. That's not what that means. There's one good, perfect, and acceptable will, and that is that you be conformed to the image of His Son. Everything in the ministry is moving in that direction. The whole current of the flow of the Holy Spirit is flowing in that single direction. The prize of the high calling is becoming the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. It's the highest calling in all of the Bible. You're not just called to heaven, you're called to Him. Woo, somebody give Him praise this morning. Listen to this, I got to close, but here's one last thing. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. And the exceptional promises, the most precious promise, and the greatest of all promises are these. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be conformed and you might partake of the divine nature, having overcome by partaking of the divine nature of Christ, having overcome the corruption that is in the world. The promise is that in Christ you can begin to partake of God's own character and nature. That's the promise. And it's the only way to overcome the weakness of your flesh and the powerful pull of the world system. You've got to start identifying with the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. The Bobby that got revenge died when I got saved. The Bobby that wanted to strike out and strike back died with Jesus, was buried with Him. And a new man was raised, not to follow the old way, but to walk in the what? The newness of life. Hallelujah. I tell people all the time, you ought to be grateful that I'm walking in the newness of life. Because the old Bobby would have kicked your... Anyway, moving right along. That's how the old Bobby was. But he's dead. He's dead. But be glad he's dead, old hoss. Anyway, moving right along. He tries to resurrect from time to time. I remember pastoring years ago. It so got to me, I thought, they better hope I don't backslide. Anyway, that's the old Bobby. That's the one we got to keep down. God wants to lift you. God wants to change you. God wants to give you the rest of your life a happy life, a healthy life, a fulfilled life in Him. A life so complete in Christ that you're able to go out and say, such as I have, give I thee. Not see yourself as the needy one, but the one that can supply the need in somebody else. That's what God wants to do in you. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you, raise your hand, but I'm going to ask this. We're just home folk. I'm taking extra time. If we had visitors, I'd probably do it, but I'd tell them they could go. Amen. The reason I hadn't said that yet is because this is so vital and so important. Your enemy, no matter who you are in Christ, what armor you have, what faith has been developed, he's going to see you as you see yourself. Amen. He's going to see you exactly like you see yourself. Amen. So you need to get renewed in the spirit of your mind. And see yourself as more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. See yourself as loved of God. See yourself as God sees you in light of the blood of Jesus. Does it change the way God looks at you, the blood of Jesus? Does it change the way God looks at you? Then it ought to change the way you look at you. I brought baggage into my Christian life. I grew up, my way of my parent motivating me to do better, my mother, was to compare me with my cousin, who was very articulate. He could do crafts, arts, intelligent, did straight A's at school. I mean, you know, U.S. Air Force, I mean, he just. And any time I had a shortcoming anywhere, it was always, well, he does this, why can't you? So all my life, my whole life, I felt secondary, unsatisfactory, not really acceptable. And the only way to get love and expect was not unconditionally, it was to achieve to a particular level. That's when you get a hug. Still doing it. And I still wrestle with it. It's amazing how that imprints when you're 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12. And you can have so much going for you. My brother and my sister, this stuff that we bring into the kingdom, it'll hang over you sometimes. And you just got to get in that book and say, that man is dead. Whether he was a great man or not so great man or woman either, that person is dead. That person was buried with Jesus. Hallelujah. And what there is now is not someone that has to attain some great achievement to get God to love me. I was placed in His Son when I became a Christian, and God embraced me in His Son. John 17 says, Father, He's praying for the church for then and for every succeeding generation. It is the Lord's Prayer. Amen. That's our prayer that we call. It's the Lord's teaching for us to pray what we call the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer before He left this earth, amen, is in John 17. I want to preach on the Lord's Prayer out of John 17. Wow, there's good stuff in it. God wants us to share His glory. But here's Jesus, and He's praying to the Father, and He says, Father, the world don't understand this, but you and I know exactly what this means spiritually. You know how you're in me and I'm in you. I pray for them that they might be in me like I'm in you and you're in me, that they may be in us in the same relationship. And that you, because of that new relationship, love them with the same love wherewith you love me. Don't treat them any differently than you treat me. Natural mind saying, no. The natural mind can't get that. That's why Paul said, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him and the riches of His inheritance in the saints. You brought that old baggage into the kingdom with you. I want you to throw it in that grave with the old you. Don't matter what your mama thought anymore, your daddy thought. It matters, but it don't. It's what God knows and what God says. Hallelujah. Will you join hands? If deep inside you feel you are not worthy, how can I bless you? If you will not use your faith to believe in what I have promised I would do in you and through you, how can I use you, saith God? It is not pride to stand in your standing. It is faith, and it will humble you to know that you have a blessing that you in no way deserve, but yet it is real and it belongeth to you, saith God. It will bring forth devotion, not pride and arrogance. It will bring victories that will glorify my name. I can do no more for you than I have done. For not only have I given my Son, but I've sent my Word. Yea, I've sent my Word to heal you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I don't preach anymore to be accepted, to be applauded. I don't preach to see if everyone is going to find my preaching good or wonderful or lackluster. I preach to please my King. This church will never please everybody, but I'm in good company. No church ever has.